الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected one of my kiram, brothers and elders. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we have been repeatedly hearing the most fundamental lesson about this Mubarak month, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us this month to acquire taqwa. And the different ways in which this was explained all highlight some dimension of it. So the one way of understanding this simply is that taqwa is all about bringing the entire deen alive within us. Because if this part deen and part of our life is not on deen, then that's not taqwa. If perhaps a person is fulfilling the obligations of deen, but then he's not staying away from haram, not refraining from sins, then that's far away from taqwa. MashaAllah, what he's doing, that is very good, but he's still not on taqwa. The requirement of taqwa is that he's fulfilling the obligations and he's also refraining from what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. Imtithalul awamir is fulfilling what Allah's commands are, and ijtinabul manahi, ijtinabul the things that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, he's refraining from that as well. So this is complete deen. So likewise, in a more detailed note, deen, there are five branches of deen. And deen will be alive in its entirety when all five branches of deen are alive. A person is fulfilling some parts of it and some parts are neglected, then he's still not fully on deen. He still hasn't fully acquired taqwa. Because taqwa will demand that all the five branches of deen are alive. So the most fundamental aspect is obviously a person's imaniyat, his aqaid, his beliefs. If anything is not in order in terms of his iman, his beliefs, his aqidah, then everything else is gone. It all rests on the foundation of iman. Foundation is not in order, that building can never stand. So the most important thing is his aqidah, his beliefs. And in the times that we are in, with the flood of things that come through social media and what people are accessing on the internet and whatever other information, this explosion of information that we are living in this age, so all kinds of things are flooding in. And a person is not careful, he's just taking in whatever comes, then he's putting his iman on the line sometimes. He's putting his iman on the line. Now just to understand this, one recent matter, so one person recently started propagating one theory, came from somewhere overseas, even here locally, started propagating one so-called research of his. And that was widely communicated or spread through the media or whatever. And part of what he was propagating, his so-called research, is that there's one ayat in the Quran Sharif, which na'uzubillah, has been wrongly transmitted over many centuries. وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ. So he says this, لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ, this ayat in Quran Sharif, this is wrongly transmitted. Na'udhu billah, thumma na'udhu billah. It was supposed to be different, la'alamul lisa'a only. Now subhanallah, this kind of, now in other words, what he is claiming is that the Quran Sharif, this particular ayat, all these centuries from maybe just one century after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'uzu billah, this went off subah. What a claim. Less than that, in fact, that from that time to the time he arrived on the scene, till then nobody knew that this is na'uzu billah wrong. Whereas the Quran Sharif, the primary transmission of the Quran Sharif is that the Sahaba-e-Kiram learnt it from Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they verbally transmitted it to their students, and their students verbally transmitted it thereafter to their students, and that is the tawatur, the manner in which the Quran Sharif has been transmitted from generation to generation. And the recorded Quran Sharif is in accordance to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught the Sahaba-e-Kiram, and what then came down in that manner. So this original form of transmission is this verbal transmission that has come from generation to generation, and thousands of Sahaba learned from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they passed on to their students. Now one person comes on the scene and he's propagating it as belief. And na'uzu billah, that if you are believing that this is correct, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِسَّاعَةٍ, then you are wrong. Your belief and iman is not correct. Now the upside down aqidah is being pushed forward and being promoted as if that is right. And then you'll get people now commending this. We've never heard something so, such deep knowledge, na'uzu billah. This is being called great knowledge. And what deep research. Subhanallah. From where to where. But now these are the kind of things that are happening. These are the kind of things that are being propagated. So the most important thing in this regard is the one rule. Once upon a time it was, before you read the book, read the author. Meaning know the author. Not just because he came from somewhere and he claims to have some kind of degrees and titles and whatever, so he has become an authority on deen, and just listen to anything that he's saying and take anything wholesale. Now if somebody accepts this, na'uzu billah, they're putting the iman on the line. And then like that, there were other beliefs as well that were being propagated about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So now the point is that this is just an example that is being given, that what not is taking place, and people are accessing all these things, listening to anyone and everyone, and much of this is being sort of presented in a very eloquent and a very captivating manner, whether it is in the written form, whether it is somebody's talk somewhere. But what is the substance? So the rule that we should make for ourselves is, we don't know the author, and the author hasn't been endorsed by who we have confidence in terms of their knowledge, in terms of their deen, in terms of their adherence to Shariat and Sunnat. Till we don't have that endorsement from somebody, the safest thing is stay far away from it all. Don't access it. And in fact, rather just confine ourselves to those whom we have that confidence in deen, whose credentials we have seen endorsed by the learned people of the time and the seniors of the time. Must we confine ourselves to that? That is the safest path. Without getting into any technicalities about anything, we don't make judgment about anybody till we don't know what's really going on. We know something is wrong, we will pass judgment about that, this is wrong. But we keep safe by keeping to this simple way, that we keep to those personalities, those ulama-i-kiram, whom we have seen the endorsement from the seniors of the time, people of knowledge, people of taqwa, and seen their own credentials in terms of their adherence to Shariat and Sunnat. So that is the safe path. And if we deviate from that, Allah forbid, where we might end up. So the first and most important thing is aqidah, the belief, the iman of a person. So that is the foundation, that is the first branch of deen, that has so much detail to it. And then is the ibadat. The aspect of ibadat also, mashallah, everybody is generally conscious about, who has some understanding of deen, some consciousness of trying to be good Muslims. So a person who's trying to be a good Muslim, he is very, well, most likely very conscious about all his ibadat, that he's conscious about salah, about fasting in the month of Ramadan, he'll be concerned about discharging his zakat, and not just discharging it anyhow, concerned about discharging it correctly. The correct calculation, so that at least it is never short paid. If it was a bit extra, alhamdulillah, that's his good fortune that he gave something more in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But it is 100% clear and sure that there was not 1 cent short paid. So his zakat he'll be conscious about, and then together with that, that he is making sure it is receiving the correct, reaching the correct recipients. MashaAllah, many people are very conscious about it. They travel far distances to try and find the correct recipients and hand it personally. And that is the true spirit. That is the true spirit of zakat, to search for the correct recipients and to pass it on to them. So in any case, the person now who has some consciousness of deen, who's concerned about being a good Muslim, so he'll be conscious about his salah, to at least perform his salah correctly, perform it 5 times a day, discharge his zakat, fast in the month of Ramadan, Hajj is compulsory. So mashallah, ibadat, there is some consciousness about ibadat. But as many, many times this topic is discussed, the deen doesn't stop here. These are the fundamentals. It starts off on imaniyat, and then salah is going to be the first thing questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. And likewise, our other pillars of Islam, there cannot be one bit of compromise in this. But deen doesn't finish off here. There's much more to deen. So these are still 2 branches. And then comes the mu'amalat, the dealings, our monetary dealings, our business transactions, whatever other dealings we have on a general note with people in terms of monetary dealings. This is a very important branch of deen. This is related to a person's income. And that income affects everything in his life. That income, obviously he's going to acquire that income, that's what he's going to eat from. That's what he's going to wear his clothes with. That's what he's going to feed his family. And Allah forbid, if that went off, if it went completely off and there was haram involved, then he is nourishing himself with haram, he is nourishing, he is wearing haram. So we already discussed the one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the example Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives of this person traveling lengthy journey, then dust laden, very pitiable condition, and he is in a very, very pitiable state. And in that pitiable state, if somebody sees him, their heart will melt. So now in this kind of condition, he's turning to Allah Ta'ala and making dua. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, he's begging Allah Ta'ala. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says that dunya, Allah has kept a system. Fire burns, water will quench the thirst, and all the other means that we know, it has its effect. So likewise, there are things in the system of dunya that are barriers from the acceptance of dua. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. What he consumed, his food was haram. There was some element of haram in it. It may not have been that he consumed pork, or he drank some wine, that he also is very clear about, that's totally haram, he's staying far away from it. But then what about the manner in which he earned his income? Was that 100% halal? So now he consumed something haram, his drink was haram, his clothing was acquired from haram income, wa huziya bil haram, he was nourished by haram. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is presenting this as a question now, that fa anna yustajabu lidhalik, how can his dua be accepted? Meaning it will never be accepted. How come it never be accepted? He put these barriers in the way. Now he'll go to Arafat as well, for Hajj, he'll be in the plains of Arafat, but if that nourishment of haram is what he was nourished with, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ, he'll cling to the ghilaf of the Kaaba Sharif inside the Hatim at the Multazam. But if he's at the Multazam also and begging, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, but the same hadith applies, that if he's been nourished by haram, his clothing is from a haram, some haram contamination is in there, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. Now much of the time, or often this is the question in our minds, that my du'as or others' du'as, one is that it's not necessary that the du'a will always be accepted in the manner that what we asked for, that is exactly what will come. Person has made sincere du'a, he's cautious about halal haram, he hasn't created any barriers from the acceptance of the du'a, then his du'a will be accepted with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. But it's not necessary that what he asked, exactly that will come. Sometimes that will come. Sometimes some other thing will come in place of it, which Allah knows is better for him. And sometimes some calamity will be averted. And also in some cases, that dua will become a provision for him for the akhirat. So in any case, this is a very crucial aspect to check. And if it is not clear-cut haram, alhamdulillah, but sometimes there's still some level of contamination. There was some zulm involved on somebody. There was something else that now created some contamination. So the barakat of it is gone. It's not that haram came in, but the barakat was all depleted out of it. So now when there's no barakat in it, so where's that barakat going to come in the person's life, in his heart? Where's that barakat going to drive him towards righteous deeds? There's no barakat in it. So therefore now this is a very important, now this, what he does in terms of how he earns a living, etc., it's not just confined to what he gains, but that is going to now affect his ibadat. That is going to affect his du'as. That's going to affect everything in life. So now that's another very important branch of deen, his mu'amalat. And the pious predecessors were extremely careful about this. The Sahaba Ikram, the Tabi'een, throughout the ages. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, very, very great personality of deen, very great muhaddis, very great faqih, mujahid. And he was such a comprehensive personality. The ustad of the ustad of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. We can imagine now where he, and his narrations are filled in the books of hadith. He once traveled all the way, more than 1,000 miles, to Maru, and he was there for whatever period of time, for whatever work, went to acquire knowledge of deen, and there he borrowed one pen from somebody to just write something, because at that moment, maybe now, they used to have these reed pens, maybe that pen, that reed was now worn out or whatever. So he borrowed one pen from someone. Now we're talking about the pen of that zamana. The pen in that era wasn't all these sophisticated pens. It was a simple pen, a reed pen must be, would be worth very little in terms of monetary value. Because it was all these things were easily made from, handmade from things around. He borrowed that. And sometimes it happens now, a person was busy using it, and then force of habit, after he finished now, half an hour later, 1 hour later, so force of habit, he put it in his pocket. Without realizing that this was the borrowed pen. And then he came back, more than 1,000 miles. And now when he reached, he now realized, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I forgot to return this pen. So now that might have been worth, in our rands and cents, maybe less than a few rands. Less than a few rands. He traveled 1,000 miles again to go and find the owner and return the item to him. And he says, to now return this one dirham is more beloved to me. One dirham that is belonging to somebody else, to go and return that is more beloved to me than spending 100,000 dirhams in charity. Because that is nafil, that is something is rewarding, but this will wipe out all that on the day of Qiyamah if it's not settled and not forgiven. So now they were so conscious about these mu'amalat that nobody's rights must be trampled in any way in this regard. Not one cent of anybody else's property, anybody else's right, I must take wrongfully, I must usurp in any way. Otherwise, that will become a major disaster on the day of Qiyamah. So they were very conscious about this. And this was the legacy that came down from none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the last days of his Mubarak life, he presented himself to the Sahaba Ikram regarding Mu'amalat, Mu'asharat, Akhlaq. Anybody has any right over me, please claim it now. And if I even hurt somebody in some way, here I am present, you take your revenge now. Hada irdi fantaqid. See, I hurt somebody's honor. Yes, I am standing in front of you now. I am ready here to take it back. You tell me back what I told you. Subhanallah. Allah's Masoom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is presenting himself in this way to set the example for the ummah. That look, don't take this lightly. So this is the whole branch of mu'amalat. So in mu'amalat also, alhamdulillah, to some extent, person who has some consciousness of deen, then he'll be careful. He'll be conscious. But then comes the next branch of mu'asharat, social life, interacting with people, how we live with others, whether within the four walls of our home, outside the home, how we live with our neighbors. Now this aspect of mu'asharat is often neglected even by those who are very conscious of their iman, their ibadat, their mu'amalat. But come to mu'asharat, there's another whole story. And it is as if that this is not part of deen. This is free for all. And often free for all within the four walls of the home, within those circles where we have some authority. And apart from that, then be very careful. But within the four walls of the home and where we have some authority, people are under our now instruction in some way, then this aspect of mu'asharat is often forgotten. Whereas it's an extremely important branch of deen. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has given guidelines of mu'asharat. And what has been explained previously, the Quran Sharif is a very concise book of principles. The command of salah has come repeatedly in the Quran Sharif. But all the details, how many rakats, what time which salah should be performed, what should be recited in each rakat, and all the other details in the Hadith Sharif, the Quran Sharif gave the command repeatedly. Likewise with zakat, with fasting, with hajj. These are the pillars of Islam. But the details are not in the Quran Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his responsibility was Allah Ta'ala made him the mubayyin and the first mufassir of the Quran Sharif. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, we've revealed this Quran to you so that you will explain it to the people. This Hadith Sharif of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the explanation of the Quran Sharif. But yet together with that, though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained all the branches of deen, but in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has highlighted so many aspects of mu'ashara. That in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala highlights a aspect of mu'ashara, إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Now this aspect of mu'asharat, and such a basic aspect, when you enter your home, make salam. On the one side, Quran Sharif is commanding salah repeatedly, and salah is farz, 5 times a day. And the first thing that will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. But the details of salah are in the Hadith Sharif. That was now entrusted into the responsibility of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain all the details, and he practically demonstrated it, and he then gave the instruction, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, perform your salah as you see me perform the salah. So the Quran Sharif entrusted that detail to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also highlighted salam. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala an, his name is also the sahabi in whose name is salam. He says when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madina Munawwara, he made hijrat and he arrived. So the first things I heard from him, I came quickly when I heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has arrived. And in his opening address to the sahaba in Madina Munawwara, opening advices that he gave to them, started off with this, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu ta'am, wa silu arham, wa sallu bil layli wa nasu niyam, tadkhulul jannata bi salam. He gave the prescription of how to reach Jannat with ease. 4 aspects mentioned in this opening advice, 3 of them related to Mu'asharat, and the 4th one was Ibadat. Because we're talking about the Sahaba Ikram, they understood Deen already. But 3 aspects of this 4, now this is the opening address in Madina Munawwara, the inaugural address as they call it. This is the first advices being given to the community of Madina Munawwara. The Ansar that had now received Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam after having gone and invited him, the details are many. But now finally Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrat, many muhajireen had already come. And now this community of muhajireen and ansar are all present, and this inaugural address and the first advices, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, make salam common, spread salam. Not the high and by. Completely meaningless. What's in it? Well, it's become a form of greeting for whatever community is. But that greeting is just meaningless. And salam is a dua. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah's salamati be with you. And it is an expression that you are safe from me. You'll get salamati from me. I won't harm your life, your wealth and property, your honor and dignity. That is what we are expressing when you're saying assalamu alaikum. It's also giving dua to the person. May Allah Ta'ala's peace be with you. Allah protect you. Allah keep you in His hifazat. Afshu salam. Wa at'imu ta'am. Feed. It's all part of mu'asharat. Feed people. Feed. And it's not qualified in any way. How much you have to feed, must be on elaborate function, nothing. Whatever little bit a person can share, one little bit he sent to his neighbor, some poor person out there, and he's got that jazba of feeding. This is a very important aspect of mu'asharat. This keeps that mu'asharat alive. At'imu ta'am, afshu salam, wa at'imu ta'am, wa silul arham, and join family relationships. Fundamental aspect of mu'asharat. And wasallu bil layli wa nasu niyam, perform salah in the last part of the night when others are all fast asleep. That time wake up and talk to Allah Ta'ala. That is a very special time. And for that very special time, a little bit of special effort. Now the person will make some sacrifice and leave his bed and stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. And at that time Allah Ta'ala is calling out, Hal min mustaghfirin fa aghfir Allah. This which we hear about, these virtues, 15 night of Shaban, Laylatul Qadr, etc. It's in the last 1/3 portion of every night. Last 1/3 portion of every night, Allah Ta'ala's special mercies descend on the lowest heaven, and then Allah Ta'ala Himself calls out that Hal min mustaghfirin fa aghfir Allah. Anybody seeking maghfirat, seeking forgiveness, I may grant it to him. Anybody seeking rizq, I will grant it to him. Hal min mubtalan fa'u'afiyah. anybody in a problem and he's seeking that relief from that problem, I'll give him that afiyat. Hal min kada, hal min kada. This issue that Allah is calling out. So now again this, right in the first advices, Abdullah bin Salam says, first thing I heard from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this, in which all this mu'asharat is being highlighted. So the Quran Sharif is all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted it in great detail. But in the Quran Sharif, Allah is highlighting, إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. This is a greeting from Allah Ta'ala's side, pure greeting filled with barakat. But now when a person enters the home, making salam in a good manner, cheerfully, it already lightens up the whole house. It already starts creating that happiness, that cheer within everybody. Now what is this all about? Creating this good feeling, creating this happiness, bringing this good atmosphere in the home. It's all part of mu'asharat. What is the home? The four walls is called the home. That's the house. The four walls is a house, that's a building. When a person has just built something, he says he's building his house. And then when people are inhabiting that place, and there's people living in there, then they call it a home. But if that place is devoid of this good feeling, of this mahabba, of this bond and good relationship, then it's a house. It's a very sometimes elaborate house. It's a house with every kind of comfort, all the luxuries, but often it's not a home. It's devoid of that good feeling, it's devoid of that happiness, that peace. That house which is supposed, in Arabic is called maskan. And maskan comes from sukoon. Sukoon means peace. So that maskan was supposed to be a place of sukoon. But then when the muasharat is not there, then that's now a house. So Allah Ta'ala is giving us in the Quran Sharif, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ a lesson of muasharat detailed in the Quran Sharif. Such a basic aspect in detail. فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. And then Allah is giving us the virtue of this, the greatness of it. It's a greeting Allah has presented to you. And it's a greeting which is so pure and filled with barakat. So now he's being taught, enter the house, enter with salam. Because you need to make sure that that mu'asharat is right. So start off on this good note. Now the person comes in walking grumpily. And then the greeting of the moment is, that please get out of my way, I had a bad day. That's the greeting. If I had a bad day, so everybody else must be now on eggshells. Because if I had a bad day, I'm just waiting to transfer. This kind of EFT, wallahu alam. So now he's just waiting to offload it on somebody else. Why? Because he had a bad day. So somebody committed zulm on him, so now somebody else has to take it on. So now he'll become the zalim in how he passes on that zulm. That's not going to absolve him that because somebody else committed zulm on him, he will be answerable for his own zulm. So now a very simple basic aspect of salam, which we take for granted, but Allah commanded us in the Quran Sharif. Why? To highlight mu'asharat. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gives us so many other etiquettes of social life. لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. When you don't enter anybody's home without their permission, without first taking their permission, greeting, without that, don't enter anybody's home. And فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكْ, then when you ask for permission, the Quran Sharif is detailing aspects of mu'asharat. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوهُ وَأَزْكَى لَكُمْ. You knocked on somebody's door once, twice, thrice. And if the person from inside said, please, I am unable to attend to you now, some other time. Allah Ta'ala says, don't take any offense to this. That's the gist of what is being said here. Don't take any offense to this. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوهُ وَأَزْكَى لَكُمْ. If you are being told, please go now, don't, now I can't receive you, then return. And be happy in your heart, you're making amal on this command of the Quran Sharif. And Allah Ta'ala says, this is purer for you. This is a matter of purity in your heart. Now subhanallah, again going back to that same point, how many rakats in Fajr, what's to be recited in each rakat, how many rakats in Zuhr, what is the time of Asr, all this Allah Ta'ala left it for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain to the Ummah. But Allah Ta'ala took it upon himself to explain that, look, if somebody you've knocked on their door and they tell you go back, then happily go back. This aspect of Mu'asharat in the Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha qila lakum tafassahu fil majalis, fafsahu yafsahillahu lakum. Wa idha qila anshuzu fanshuzu. Imagine the adab of a gathering. Allah is highlighting in the Quran Sharif. Because this is Mu'asharat, it's dealing with people's interaction. That now in a gathering, you have been told make space. Because now whoever is the head of the gathering, he wants somebody to come forward. Oh, he wants to make space for some. So then Allah says, Fafsahu, you make the space. Yafsahillahu lakum. Allah will make space for you. Allah will send His rahmat upon you. Now this is adab of gatherings. And if you told Fanshuzu, wa idha qila lakum unshuzu fanshuzu. If you told, okay, you please wake up, accept it and obey it. Allah will elevate your stages. Now these are adab of a gathering, but the detail in the Quran Sharif, highlighting the importance of this mu'asharat, which we take for granted. That how we interact with people, what we say, what we do, are we careful about how we say things, what we say? Or we just blurt out anything, so what? I said what I want to say. I just gave somebody the peace of my mind. Allah forbid, sometimes it's a corrupted piece of our mind. And then, as often when this peace of mind thing comes, we can't continue without saying one more line, that we have sometimes a habit of giving people a piece of our minds. So now we end up distributing so many pieces of our mind, in the end we get left with nothing ourselves. So now everybody else, we gave them one piece. And for ourselves, nothing left. So now a mindless person, how he's going to live, how he's going to conduct himself. So now there's no mind to control what we're speaking, no mind to control what we're doing, because we gave it all to everybody else, one piece here, one piece there. And we're very happy about it, we distributed a piece of our mind for everyone. We should have kept some for ourselves also. So now this is being highlighted in the Quran Sharif, the adab and the etiquettes of so many things of mu'asharat, because this mu'asharat, it affects so many things in deen. Allah Ta'ala is highlighting in the Quran Sharif. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given ample detail in the Hadith Sharif. This Hadith that was discussed earlier before the Taraweeh Salah, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he highlights who's a Muslim. Al-Muslimu. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. That a Muslim, who is worthy of being called a Muslim, who is entitled to this title of Muslim. So now mashallah, the person has got iman, but then Islam is fulfilling the dictates of that iman. It's all about fulfilling the practical expression of this iman. So now who's deserving of this? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-Muslim. In Arabic, all these, this alif lam has a specific, it denotes something. It's not just there by chance. Al-Muslimul Kamil, the true Muslim. Person who's not a 50-50 story. He's a genuine Muslim. So he will have other things about Islam in his life as well, but it will not be without this aspect. Then he'll be Al-Muslim. And among the very important and fundamental things that are being highlighted, that he is the person who others are safe from any inconvenience, any harm, min lisanihi, from his tongue, and from his hands. That's the wording of the Hadith Sharif. What it means is his words and his deeds, his words and his actions. He doesn't give any undue harm to anybody. Undue harm, for example, a person has now slandered somebody, the qazi, if it's established, he will flog him 80 lashes. Now that's a harm, but that's a due harm. A person has usurped somebody's property, so then he will be taken to task for it. He might be punished for that too, but that he brought upon himself. But undue harm will not be caused to anybody with our words, with our actions. This particular Hadith Sharif, this is the foundation of this entire branch of Mu'asharat. That a person becomes super conscious that I must not cause any inconvenience, any takleef to anybody else. This is the crux of it. That I must not cause any takleef to anybody. And then there's so much of detail in the Hadith Sharif, in the advices of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in his Mubarak practice of how he went about things, that highlight the importance of this Mu'asharat. Now many a times the month of Ramadan comes, other auspicious occasions come, we become very conscious about ibadat, mashallah, excellent, that's a very wonderful thing. We become conscious about doing good work in terms of charity, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We might become active in helping others, very good. But very often, it doesn't even cross our minds, let me check my mu'asharat. How's my mu'asharat going? And then still akhlaq. How's this mu'asharat carrying on? Am I okay with this? Otherwise Allah forbid on the day of Qiyamah, all this ibadat and these amal and this charity and this other good works and the efforts of deen and everything else, Allah forbid, gets lost and will get dished out to others who were harmed because of lapses in mu'asharat, because of the way we conducted ourselves, how we used our tongue, how we, our behavior in general, and what harm we cause to others. Allah forbid we then lose all our amal to others. Hazrat Maulana Umar Palampuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, a very great muballigh and personality of very high caliber. Many may have remembered him. He used to come regularly for the ijtimaas in that time. Passed away many years back. And a very senior personality. He says he used to, their mother, now this is tarbiyat, this is nurturing. Our nurturing, what we understand of raising children, is to pamper them with all the luxuries, but to make their tarbiyat and raise them in a way that they shine in the court of Allah Ta'ala. We just want to make them shine in that beautiful outfit that now we want to make them wear. And Allah forbid, sometimes that outfit is purely the styles of the Yahud and Nasara. So they're not shining in Allah Ta'ala's court, rather the total opposite. And how they're going to face, and how we're going to face Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah then. But now that is our understanding of nurturing, and our understanding of raising children, that we pamper them in all the luxuries and comforts of dunya. And if we've done that, then we've done our job. And we've educated them for dunya, then we've done our job. But did we educate them of how to present themselves in the court of Allah Ta'ala? We educated them well enough to make their qabrs, to prepare them for the questioning of the grave, prepare them for the questions of the day of Qiyamah. And all that is dependent on teaching them deen, inculcating deen in their lives, bringing these adabs and etiquettes of muasharat, of akhlaq, obviously of ibadat, the imaniyat, bringing all that alive in them. No harm in giving them the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, but not at the expense of deen. Not at the expense of putting their akhirat on the line, putting their iman on the line. So now he says that our mother used to make our tarbiyat in this, and she used to tell us, look, ever you want to make ghibat of anybody, you want to backbite anyone, sometimes it might just, you know, bubble within you, which often happens, unfortunately, that some people, they won't be able to digest their food till they don't speak ill of somebody. They may not get sleep for that night if they didn't talk something about somebody else. So ever you want to make ghibat of anyone, then make ghibat of me. Anybody has the guts to do that, tell somebody else. Look, any time it's bubbling in you to make ghibat of someone, I am giving you permission, make ghibat of me. His mother, a mother is saying to her children, but now obviously, which child in his right mind is going to make ghibat of his parents? Even if they are wrong about something, he will do what he can to now cover up that wrong, and he'll deal with it in some way. But if he's in his right mind, then that's the last thing he's going to do, make ghibat of his parents. But now this is the nurturing he should give them, that look, if ever you want to make ghibat of anyone, then make ghibat of me. Because when you're going to make ghibat, you're going to be dishing out your good deeds and giving it away to whom you have spoken ill of. So if anyone is deserving of your good deeds, then it's your mother. So you are now wanting to dish out your good deeds, you rather give it to me. Because what I have done for you, nobody has done for you. Now who in his right mind is going to make that, make ghibat of his parents? So in other words, this was cutting the whole aspect of ghibat at the root, uprooting it, that look, don't ever make ghibat of anybody, but being presented in a way that sticks in the mind. If I'm going to make ghibat, I'm dishing out my good deeds. All this is part of this muasharat. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is highlighting it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has highlighted this in such detail in the Hadith Sharif, to the extent of very subtle things which we take for granted. Sometimes subtle, sometimes more open things and apparent things as well. Subtle things. One sahabi says, we were guests at the house of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We came, he entertained us, he accommodated us. So he would be busy at night with the sahaba ikram in the separate space that we were now accommodated in. So we would, after the gathering of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we would go to now retire to bed. But he would still be busy for a long time. But then he would still be concerned that my mehman, my guests, is everything in order, they're okay. So he would come to check on us. Before he goes to bed, he would come to check on us. Muasharat. And now when he would come to check on us, but it's late now, so he would make salam, because that's the etiquette. But he would make salam in such a tone that if somebody was awake, he will hear it, and if somebody was sleeping, he would not be disturbed. So now this is keeping everything in place, fulfilling the etiquette, fulfilling the requirement of salam, and making sure that somebody who is now resting is not disturbed. And all these things are now being kept in place. But subhanallah, now who is this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he made salam aloud and somebody was sleeping and they heard it, they'll still be too elated that I heard the salam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will be thrilled. They will be ecstatic about it. But no, this is not the way to conduct oneself. Somebody is now resting and sleeping, he should not be disturbed. The time has already passed, but there's so many aspects, but whenever this topic comes up, it's almost impossible to pass this discussion without one incident, which has been mentioned many, many times, and every time that is mentioned, it gives so much of lesson. The incident of Hazrat Mashaf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, once he was very ill, very weak, and now late at night, he needed to go and relieve himself. So now the setup in those days, the toilets were outside the house, that to a little distance away from the house. And late at night, now there's no lighting of electricity or anything, so that candle, that lamp, all that had to be lit. And then no water on tap. So now the jug will be filled somewhere, and then that will have to be taken along. Now in this darkness of the night, he now woke up and then did the necessary, went and fetched that water, then went to the toilet, and now while returning, but he was so weak and now all this exertion, while coming back, he probably just entered his house and he fainted, he collapsed. But now everybody was fast asleep. He had woken nobody up. So now when this happened, nobody was aware. After some time, he regained his consciousness and he realized, now what happened? I was coming back and I fell and fainted. So now he somehow woke up and made his way back to his bed. And now he barely just came on his bed. Now his mind is running. When a person is conscious about deen, when he is concerned that I need to reach Allah Ta'ala safely, I don't want any hurdles in my way, I don't want any obstacles. And one of the obstacles is causing taklif to others. So now one is causing taklif, but if somebody has been asked for a favor, there's no harm in that. Now he just now laid on the bed after this whole episode of fainting. And now he's thinking, but when I went to the toilet and I was coming back, I had that jug in my hand. And when I fainted and fell, that fell out of my hand. And when I woke up, I just woke up and came away. That is lying somewhere there. So to start off with, somebody else will wake up at night, they may need to use it, they won't find it in its place. That will already be taklif. That is causing inconvenience to somebody. And al-Muslimu, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim doesn't cause taklif to anybody. That is taklif already. Then on top of that, further taklif and danger, somebody now in the dark might be walking past there and it's lying on the floor. They can kick it, in that shock they might trip and fall too. Maybe it's a light thing, but in that moment now, kicking it in the darkness, don't know what you kicked, can cause more taklif to somebody. Now the simple thing was, his wife was sleeping in the same room, to wake up, please, this is what happened, that jug is lying there, please go and fetch it and put it in his place. She says, but she's sleeping now, I'll disturb her sleep. So why and how can I cause this disturbance now, this taklif? He woke up, whereas that wasn't, she would have been more than happy to do it. But he didn't disturb her. He woke up himself in that very weak condition, went and found it and fetched it from where it was lying, went and put it back in its place, and then came back and laid down. Now those who understood deen, understood muasharat, understood that we need to get to Allah Ta'ala in a way that we don't create obstacles. Otherwise our ibadat all will get left one side. Not that we should neglect that. But Allah forbid, due to the lapses in muasharat, in akhlaq, there's no time to discuss that. Allah forbid, all that gets lost. So this, together with bringing alive all the other aspects, our five times daily salah, our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, our zikr, our du'as, don't regard ourselves as muttaqi unless we've also done this. That is all fundamental for taqwa. Staying away from haram, refraining from sins, guarding the gaze, guarding the tongue, avoiding any haram places, avoiding company that's going to take us in the direction of evil and sin. All that has to be part of our life. Together with that, let us keep double checking and repeatedly checking. As mentioned before the Taraweeh Salah, we need this time for muhasaba daily, especially to get our muashara right. How I conducted myself in the past 24 hours, how I used my tongue, what were my actions. Think about it, reflect. And in the court of Allah Ta'ala, where is this going to now fall? Am I going to be safe from getting taken to task, or am I going to get taken to task for it? Is this going to lose my amal, cause me to lose my amal, or is it going to be preserved? Time for muhasaba, to reflect deeply between us and Allah Ta'ala. We are the judges. And our heart will testify. If we are sincere, and we are genuinely wanting to reach Allah Ta'ala, if we want to fool ourselves, then we can fool ourselves too. But if we are sincerely wanting to reach Allah Ta'ala, and not be in problems on the day of Tiamat, then our heart will testify. It will tell us that this was a terrible thing to have done. This was not in order. But if we give that time for that muhasaba, we give that time to reflect, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, inshallah that will spur us to improve, to correct ourselves. Everything goes through a process. It won't happen at the press of a button. But we'll start becoming conscious, we'll becoming more alert, we'll become more careful. And when we slip, we'll be very concerned about making amends, about seeking forgiveness of people. Because without that, Allah forbid, we can be in deep trouble on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become fully practicing on every aspect of deen. Our iman is correct, our ibadat is in order, and likewise our muamalat, our dealings, our muasharat, our akhlaq, all this is put in place and all this is correct, so that this al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, this perfected deen and this complete deen, we are practicing on this, and we are insan, we slip up somewhere, then we have to make amends, make immediate tawbah, and if we've slipped up in the rights of people, we immediately make amends. In this way, inshallah, we'll get closer to Allah Ta'ala, and our lives will keep improving. And when the time comes for our maut, then inshallah, we will also hear that declaration, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. Allah grant us. This requires this effort. This is not just for the sake of filling some slot, and well, it's a Mubarak night, so we'll get sawab. Inshallah, Allah reward us with the sawab too. It is to take these lessons to heart and to make decisions in our life. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Said Guru Sharif. La ilaha illallah محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا
illallah, la ilaha 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 illallah, محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدھر اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کردار نامہ سیاہ تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ اب تو رہے بستا دم آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ 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 لا الہ سلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اللہ اللہ جل جلاله عم نواله اللہ 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على سيدنا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين
لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المتقين واجعلنا من المحسنين واجعلنا من المحسنين واجعلنا من المخبتين واجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين إله العالمين يا الله most merciful most gracious most kind most loving Allah إله العالمين يا الله forgive us يا الله forgive us يا الله Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't deserve anything. We acknowledge that, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but we've turned to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and you are Kareem, Ya Allah. You are most gracious, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you give those who don't deserve anything, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are the same Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that made Abdullah bin Mubarak, Ya Allah, who brought him out, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, from whatever he was steeped in, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you made him the muhaddis of the time, Ya Allah. You made him the mujahid of the time, Ya Allah. You made him the faqih of the time, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. You are the same Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that brought Bishr Hafi, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, out of his drink, Ya Allah. Out of his whatever life he was, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you made him among the great awliya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you brought Fuzail bin Iyaz out, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you made him among your muqarrabeen, Ya Allah. Among your special friends, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we also down and out, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we also, Ya Allah, extremely steeped in sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are in the mess of sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but just as you purified others, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, your mercy is still the same mercy, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, purify us as well, Ya Allah. Purify us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, purify us, Ya Allah. Show your rahmat on us as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts out, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us among your awliya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, there's nobody to question you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, why you made undeserving ones like us your friends, Ya Allah? Why you forgave us, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we'll be saved, Ya Allah. Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will become happy, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from the situation, Ya Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, we become a source of pain for his Mubarak heart, Ya Allah. Then we have to face him, Ya Allah. If he asks on that day, Ya Allah, then what I did for you, what kind of sacrifices I made, I bled from head to toe for you, and what you did, I cried for you, I shed tears for you, I saw my Sahaba being martyred for you. Ya Allah, what answer we'll have, Ya Allah? And we followed the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. We abandoned his Mubarak Sunnah. We do embrace the ways of his enemies. Allah will save us from destruction on that day, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from the disgrace of that day. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, so come, get away from here. Ilahul Alameen, save us from the disgrace of that day, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, surely we've done wrong, Ya Allah. We acknowledge all you've done, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak time, Ya Allah, in the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're making a firm commitment, Ya Allah. We'll try our utmost best, Ya Allah, to become the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, to show appreciation for his sacrifices for the ummat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, to show appreciation for the blood he shed for the ummat, Ya Allah. For his tears that he shed, Ya Allah. For the stones that he tied to his belly out of hunger, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, we've shown no appreciation for all his sacrifices, Ya Allah. Forgive this major crime of ours, Ya Allah. Forgive this crime of ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, will make our mission his mission, Ya Allah. What his mission was, we'll make it our mission, Ya Allah. To uphold his Mubarak deen, Ya Allah. To uphold it in our lives, Ya Allah. To spread his deen on earth, Ya Allah. To bring our homes alive on deen, Ya Allah. To bring our environments alive in deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, to bring our families on deen, Ya Allah. Our communities on deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. In this Mubarak time, Ya Allah. We are making this firm commitment to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you help us, Ya Allah. You help us, Ya Allah, to live up to this commitment, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. You bless us with the tawfiq, Ya Allah, of living the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us steadfast on deen, Ya Allah. Keep us steadfast on deen, Ya Allah. Grant us istiqamat, Ya Allah. Give us istiqamat on 5 daily salah, Ya Allah. Enable us to perform every salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. In the masjid, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give us the tawfiq of performing salah with khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. In a way you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to recite the Quran Sharif in abundance daily, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Forever in your obedience, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the pleasure of deen, Ya Allah. The sweetness of ibadat, Ya Allah.
Allah, the sweetness of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah, the ecstasy of zikr, Ya Allah, the sweetness of dua, Ya Allah, the pleasure of making an effort for deen, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Allah, you accept us for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah, with ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, Ya Allah, accept our progenies till qiyamat, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Allah, you are the one that will keep deen alive, Ya Allah, deen is yours, Ya Allah, you are the safeguard of deen, Ya Allah, Allah, you use us, Ya Allah, we are capable of nothing, Ya Allah, Allah, all we are capable of is spoiling things, Ya Allah, Allah, destroying, Ya Allah, Allah, you use us, Ya Allah, you make us do things right, Ya Allah, Allah, you grant us ikhlas, Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, grant us the correct methods, Ya Allah, enable us to do things in a way that you are pleased, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Allah, you grant us a tawfiq, Ya Allah, of living the correct muasharat, Ya Allah, enable us to bring the right muasharat alive in our homes, Ya Allah, in our lives, Ya Allah, in our societies, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, make us concerned about the right muasharat, Ya Allah, the right muamalat, Ya Allah, bless us with the beautiful muamalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bless us with his beautiful muasharat, Ya Allah, bless us with his noble akhlaq, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his beautiful akhlaq, Ya Allah, he brought people into iman in droves, Ya Allah, he attracted them to iman with his beautiful character, Ya Allah, the sahaba ikram, Ya Allah, they attracted people to iman with their akhlaq, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, with our character, Ya Allah, we have been driving people away from deen, Ya Allah, we have been driving people away from iman, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, forgive this major crime of ours, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make us, invite us to deen, Ya Allah, invite us with our practice, Ya Allah, invite us with our conduct, Ya Allah, invite us with our akhlaq, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make us true da'is in every sense of the word, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima, Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, those who are ill in hospitals, Ya Allah, give them complete afiyat and sihat, Ya Allah, bring them back home with sihat and salamati, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Those are in financial difficulties, Ya Allah. Remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Those are in debts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make the debts get paid out with ease and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib risk filled with barakat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those in any kind of, Ya Allah, anxiety, grief, worry, depression, ilahul alameen, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah, fill the hearts with itminan and sukoon, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, make every home a place of sukoon, Ya Allah, make every home truly a maskan, Ya Allah, a place of afiyat, Ya Allah, a place of good feelings, Ya Allah, a place of muhabbat, Ya Allah, a place of, Ya Allah, good relationship, Ya Allah, a place where the muasharat of deen is being alive, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, unite the hearts of spouses, Ya Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah, unite the hearts of families, Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you give us, Ya Allah, the tawfiq of doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah, save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, all the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah, in the path of haqq, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, accept it, Ya Allah, make it a means of hidayat, Ya Allah, accept all those who are making efforts for deen, Ya Allah, in the correct path, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, accept each one's efforts, Ya Allah. You grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, Ya Allah. You save us from all the batil, Ya Allah. All the batil aqaid, Ya Allah. All the isms, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, safeguard each one's iman and amal, Ya Allah. Safeguard every Muslim's life, wealth and honor, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, grant afiyat to one and all in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah. Wherever the Muslims are in any pain, suffering, Ya Allah. Remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Remove their hardships, Ya Allah. Protect one and all, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, those who are suffering oppression, Ya Allah. Remove the oppression from them, Ya Allah. Hold back the hands of the zalimeen, Ya Allah. Give them hidayat, Ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, you wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, protect one and all, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah, these last moments are left, Ya Allah. Enable us to use this correctly, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us with istiqamat after Ramadan as well, Ya Allah. Enable us to continue, Ya Allah, in the manner that you are pleased, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, save us from all the sins, Ya Allah. Nafs and shaitan are waiting to grab at us, us, Ya Allah. You protect us, Ya Allah. You safeguard us, Ya Allah. Save us from the gambling dens, Ya Allah. Save us from the zina dens, Ya Allah. Save us from the places of vice and sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the fitna of the phone, Ya Allah. Save us from the fitna of the phone, Ya Allah. Save us from the fitna of the phone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you give us the correct understanding, Ya Allah. You grant us the himmat and courage, Ya Allah, to take the right steps, Ya Allah, to get rid of those things that are dropping us into vice and sin, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, you guide us, Ya Allah. You protect us, Ya Allah. And all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, Ya Allah, you grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant ease and afiat to one and all, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's dies, needs and pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our greatest need, Ya Allah, that we become yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. All those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah, you, Ya Allah, grant them the best rewards in place of their rights, Ya Allah. Give them the tawfiq of Ya Allah, forgiving us, Ya Allah. Put it in their hearts to forgive us, Ya Allah. All those who have made ihsan upon us, Ya Allah, give them the best rewards of their ihsan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. All that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, without asking, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim ربنا تقبل منا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.